Context, Caroline Casey. So excellent segueing from previous show and our wonderful themes of symbiotic mutualism. And as we learned last week and always in our hearts, when people cooperate to cooperate, it changes the human relationships into more egalitarian. So symbiotic mutualism, mushrooms and bees today. May we humans be humbled by biological intelligence into cooperating with flora, fauna, fungi, with Paul Stamets, mycologist, author, inventor, teacher, earthling, as he says. So we're presenting clips of Paul Stamets' address at the August 21st, 2017 Symbiosis Eclipse Festival. And Paul's first public media ever speaking was on this show way back in prehistory before he was known. And we know some things that are adorable about him, and we will learn more in minutes. Yeah, he plays a significant part in the 2019 documentary film Fantastic Fungi, yes, and the Fantastic Fungi book, which we'll be offering, and also his character, Lieutenant Commander Paul Stamets, on the CBS series Star Trek Discovery, was named after the real Stamets. The fictional version is an astromycologist and engineer aboard the USS Discovery and is credited with discovering how to navigate a mycelial network in space using a spore drive. That's adorable. So as we are in KPFA Fun Drive, this is the last day for the Visionary Activist Show. First, because our wonderful Fun Drive captain said, don't confuse people with too many profferings. So we only have one Bioneers Conference Transformation Regeneration Celebration available admission for one person for Saturday, April 8th of the 2023 Bioneers Conference for a pledge of $200. The conference featuring John Powell, Rebecca Solnit, and more. And for anybody who pledges that one person, I will be happy to share a cup of tea with you. So that's, again, admission to Bioneers, Saturday, April 8th, for one person only for a pledge of $200 by calling 800-439-5732 or pledging online on kpfa.org. We'll be diving into Paul Stamets' contribution in minutes, and we're offering his book, Fantastic Fungi, How Mushrooms Can Heal, Shift Consciousness, and Save the Planet, the life-affirming, mind-bending companion book to the hit documentary Fantastic Fungi. So that book is available for a pledge also of $200. And then here comes one more, the Fantastic Fungi Community Cookbook by Eugenia Bone. For a pledge of $200, the Fantastic Fungi Community Cookbook is by far the best culinary guide to cooking and pairing mushrooms. This book makes me so hungry I want to eat it, said Paul Stamets. And then for $100, we are offering the DVD of Aware, Glimpses of Consciousness, follows six brilliant researchers approaching the greatest of all mysteries, and so on like that. But here we go for our first segment of Paul Stamets.
Thanks, folks. I'm super honored to be here. I'm really excited about this presentation because just in the past two or three months, some revolutionary discoveries have been made about fungi that I think will strike to the very core of your being, literally. So I am the messenger of a message that's far more important than the messenger. There's so much that needs to be done in such a short period of time. The good news is that these fungi are intelligent. They're quick to respond. They're our allies. They can set up ecosystems that can lead to sustainability. But I want to provide to you actionable, ecologically rational, economically sustainable, and paradigm-shifting discoveries that can make a real difference, not only for your lifetimes, but many generations into the future. So, I've done some TED Talks and things like that, and I have to compete with myself, you know. So my friends, well, that was great, that was interesting, but what are you doing now? I feel it's really important that I keep on top of the curve, on riding the mycelial wave. So I'm going to take you on a magical mushroom journey, literally. This is, hopefully this talk will not get me arrested. I've never been arrested yet. So I'm 62 years of age and I have no criminal record. Woohoo! but just a general question. I asked this at the MAPS conference. This is a safe question for you to answer, okay? Should the feds be here? So how many people here have not tripped on psilocybin mushrooms? Can you just raise your hand? Wow. For the record, there are no hands. 600 people here or so, there are no hands. So I brought a few of my fungal friends here. This one is called Reishi Ling Chi, the mushroom of immortality. It's one that I grew. It's a mushroom with a long, long history of use. And I'll be talking about this later on as well. And there's a mushroom that my hat is made from. And this is called Amadou. Amadou is known as Fomes Fomentarius. I'm going to use a few Latin binomials, but I'll try to always use the common names as well. This mushroom was revolutionary in its time for multiple reasons. There's no doubt that we all are Africans. Get over it, folks. We moved to Europe. We became white. But we are all Africans genetically. That's the birthplace of our species. And we moved north. We discovered something new called winter. Oops. And this mushroom allowed for the portability of fire. It's a tinder conch. You can hollow this mushroom out, put embers of a fire inside, and carry fire for days. You know, if your clan moving into the winter of Europe could not start fires, your clan likely would perish. And so this allowed for the portability of fire, absolutely important as a survival tool. Moreover, when you soak this mushroom in ash water from a fire, lye, it delaminates into a fabric. And this fabric is not only highly flammable, but also this hat, which came from some ladies in Transylvania, have kept this tradition alive over thousands of years. So this cellular fabric is actually mushroom mycelium. The mushrooms are made of compacted filamentous fabric of cells called mycelium, and the mushroom delaminates. You can pull this apart and create a fabric. So this became the tinder conch. The famous Iceman had it with him. It was discovered 5,300 years ago. Interestingly, this also was used by fly fishermen to dry their flies. And it was also used, really interestingly, by beekeepers for smoking their hives. So this is what I think why mushrooms, plants, animals become shamanistically important because of a plurality, a multiplicity of benefits. When you have your survival tools that have to be portable, they have to be, you know, they can't be heavy, and they have to be multiply useful for multiple applications. This is truly where mushrooms have made their mark in history. Not only this mushroom allowed for the portability of fire, but it revolutionized warfare, because in Napoleonic times, flint spark guns, even though the Chinese invented gunpowder, the Europeans invented the gun. And this enabled the flint spark to ignite the gunpowder. So in Napoleonic times, there's a massive trade of Amadou, and which gave the advantage, of course, the people who had rifles to be able to win in combat. So I'm going to put these down. This is a piece of art that I commissioned. And some of the mushrooms, Amadou, well, I guess you can't see it, this slide, Amadou on the left. There's the Reishi mushrooms. Mushrooms I'll also be talking about. Our friendly psilocybes here. So I'll be talking about a number of these species. So hold on to your proverbial hat. This is going to be a very intensive download. Now, I am, you know, driven by science. I'm a science ambassador for the American Academy for the Advancement of Science. I was greatly honored because it was highly vetted. There's only seven of us appointed in the inaugural class. And I had to go through a gauntlet of peer review scientists, you know, and they were looking for cutting edge leading thinkers who are on the cusp of new innovations that could have a downstream impact. So I want to thank AAAS, as it's known. They published Science Magazine. Thomas Edison founded it. and my other invention ambassadors, you know, please check in the AAAS Science Magazine. It's really, really cool group of women and men that are leading the edge of science. So my talk today is mycology and the mycology of consciousness. So most of you know about button mushrooms. This is a Agaricus brasiliensis. It's a almond portobello-like mushroom. But I'm really fascinated by how mushrooms decompose. Now, mushrooms are the tip of the proverbial iceberg. Mushrooms come up and disappear, as most of you know, in 4 or 5 days. So we have a long history of contact with plants and animals through the seasons. So familiarity brings you comfort in understanding what's in the natural landscape. But mushrooms that pop up and disappear in 4 or 5 days are so ephemeral. You know, some can feed you, some can kill you, some can heal you, some can get you high. And so when those mushrooms come up and disappear and they have such potent properties, only the cognoscente, the shamans, the earth magicians, the who had intimate contact with this eclectic group of organisms, you know, it's just a small body intellect of knowledge. It's amazing that we know as much as we do today. Because of that sudden appearance of mushrooms that are so powerful, it's naturally to fear that which is unknown. And so this bred a lot of what we call mycophobia, the irrational fear of fungi. Now, in Eastern Europe, the French, the Russians, the Germans, they are mycophilic societies. But our medical knowledge, primarily coming from Britain, which is the source of mycophobia, that mushrooms are sources of decomposition and death and destruction. Well, in Asia and elsewhere around the world, especially with indigenous peoples, mushrooms were looked upon rebirth, regeneration, reclamation, a resurgence of life. So it's interesting that the cultural context steered the science on this subject, because when it came to studying fungi and mushrooms, they were not thought to be important until Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin from the Penicillium chrysogenum, a mold. From a cantaloupe that was sourced from a Chicago grocery store that was rotting, of all things. So this mushroom is past its prime. I'm going to go through it. It's decomposing. Spores are germinating. Lots of other things are happening. And then the mushroom goes subterranean. My foot covers approximately 400 miles of mycelium if you stretch those cells end upon end. In a single cubic inch of soil, there can be more than 8 miles. Some people say 1 mile, 1 to 8 miles of these filamentous threads. So every single cubic inch of soil, when you walk upon these landscapes, you're making impressions upon these sentient membranes of mycelium. And they leap up in the aftermath of your footsteps to capture new nutrients that you provided by breaking twigs, by sticks, when you chop wood. It's very interesting that the majority of the psilocybin mushrooms follow the path of our footsteps over the millennia. And I see that as no accident. So the mycelium, I spent many years as a scanning electron microscopist. It's a network-based organism. There's no specific place where you can harm the fungal organism. If you disturb it, it forks. And the mycelium externally digests its nutrients. We internally digest ours. I'll repeat this a few times because these numbers are important. 650 million years ago, we split from fungi. There's a new super kingdom, or we like to call it kingdom. Why call it king? Or, you know, kingdom. But 650 million years ago, we split from fungi. We chose the route of encirculating our nutrients into a cellular sac, a stomach. The fungi went the route of externally digesting its nutrients. And these surfaces exude all sorts of enzymes, acids, antibacterial, antiviral compounds. But more importantly, they set up the microbiome. They pre-select the organisms that are necessary to give rise to the plants downstream that create the plants, the canopies that feed the debris fields, that feed the mycelium. These are deterministic organisms. They set the stage for future biological successionism. So as my friend Patrick Hickey produced these fantastic movies over about 6 hours, but these are bundles of nuclei streaming through the mycelial networks. And it's important for you to understand that the mycelium, when it's mature, in many mushroom species, they only have 2 nuclei per cell. But as the mycelium reaches out, at the tips, there's hundreds of nuclei per cell. So think of them as like little scientists. If 2 nuclei come together and they express a new enzyme, a new acid, a new antiviral molecule against a competitor, a new insect, a new toxin, if it is able to regulate and express a new genetic, through epigenesis, able to express a new compound that can release that substance as a food, what happens? The mycelium surges. But more importantly, that information then back channels to the membrane. So as the mycelium grows, the width of my arms here, there can literally be hundreds of millions of end branchings, all of which are very clever in their ability to come up with new strategies to be able to take over a new food source. So I'm going to wax poetic here. I've been talking about this for a long time, but damn it, it's true. So the mycelium shares the archetype of neurons. The mycelium shares the same archetype that which the computer internet is designed. The computer internet, I believe, is an inevitable consequence of a previously proven biologically successful model. Network designs, you know, share nutrients, information, build communities, and are much more resilient to catastrophic events. When you go out and look at the greatest expanse of the universe, this is from a deep field view from the Hubble telescope. These lenses here are galaxies, and this is the cobweb of dark matter. Dark matter also conforms to the same archetype of that of our brain neurons, of the mycelium, of the computer internet. And going even further out now, and this is the widest view of the expanse of the universe, where dark matter and matter forms chains, according to string theory. I believe matter begets life. Life becomes single cells. Single cells become multicellular. They become strings. They fork. Membranes form. Other membranes encounter. They can collaborate or compete. Collaboration leads to greater survival, a lesson for us all. And I think this is the way of life. And I dare say to you today that I propose to you that this may be the construct of universal consciousness. We are all embedded into the archetype of these networks at varying orders of magnitude. So let's go back in time. Now, I might be a left-leaning environmentalist hippie scientist, but I'm well-rooted in science. And so I love to have skeptics, because the skeptics I convert become my best supporters. And I have a lot of supporters now who used to be, you know, rather vocal skeptics. Let's go back in time. About 13.8 billion years ago, boom, the Big Bang. About 4.5 billion years ago, the Earth coalesces. 3.8 billion years ago, the first unicellular organisms have been discovered in the fossil record. That's the origin of life. Did life come from outer space? Maybe through viruses. That's very, very possible. So here's what's been published in the past 2 months. Fossilized mycelium, 2.4 billion years old, has been found on lava beds in Australia. Now, animals split from fungi 650 million years ago, about 1.7 billion years later. Then the mycelium that you see in this fossil, this is published in Nature Ecology, a very, very reputable journal. So this means that we are descended from mycelium. Filamentous, we are descended from our filamentous ancestors. The mycelium is the mother of all animals. We are the consequence over more than a billion years. 1.7 billion years it took fungi testing to create animals. So when you understand that the mycelium is the mother of animals, and that we are descended from these filamentous networks, I think it suggests very strongly that there's a deep heritage of knowledge that we can tap into. So this article just came out in the past 2 months. 1.2 billion years old. And animals split from fungi 550 million years later. This is amazing. Mushrooms are soft, but it was in a sediment that just happened to have enough minerals to be able to fossilize the form of a mushroom. Think of this. Mushrooms had their form before we did, hundreds of millions of years earlier. Now, I think this is profound and strikes to the very core of our being. 250 million years ago at the PT boundary, the Permian-Triassic boundary, we had a great catastrophic event. Some people think it was from an asteroid impact possible, methane hydrate burst from the ocean, caused this massive extinction, that's possible. Volcanoes in Siberia, that's possible. They aren't mutually exclusive. An asteroid impact could have created the earthquakes that liberated the methane hydrate burst from the ocean and also caused the volcanoes to explode, to jettison. But the earth became shrouded in dust. Sunlight was cut off. Massive extinction, according to the fossil record. Animals died, and fungi inherited the earth because they did not require light.
There we go. Yo, team. This is the Visionary Activist Show. Caroline Casey, we are in Fun Drive. But one of our themes is let all natural facts be social strategy metaphors. You know, and we know from last week and ongoing in this show, ranchers and scientists in Nevada, and what was found was as people cooperated in order to cooperate, the relationships among them changed and became more respectfully egalitarian. This is so the way to go. And this is so kind of the essence of KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show. So, yeah, I'd like to get us on the Fun Drive board here. So we have one ticket to Bioneers for a pledge of $200. That would be for April 8th. Of 2023 Bioneers Conference featuring John Powell, Rebecca Solnit, and I would be happy to share a cup of tea with you. That's for a pledge of $200. We only have one of those by calling 800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. And then with Paul, yeah, so I gave Paul his first radio audience way back in prehistory, before he was a known person. And just, you know, the Visionary Activist Show, we've had well-known people on, but also people at the beginning of their knownness, right, to give them an audience. And that's also part of what we're pledging to continue our teammates, right? So with Paul, in one of the early things, I asked him, can mushrooms metabolize radioactivity? And he said, no, nothing in nature can do that. But the little guys are working on it, right? Call and response, this symbiotic mutualism. There we go. So we're also offering a book, Fantastic Fungi, How Mushrooms Can Heal, Shift Consciousness, and Save the Planet by Paul Stamets. It's the life-affirming, mind-bending companion book to the documentary Fantastic Fungi, which is truly great. So that's $200 for that book, 800-439-5732, or online, kpfa.org. And then we also have the Fantastic Fungi Community Cookbook by Eugenia Bone. Is by far the best a culinary guide to cooking and pairing mushrooms. This book makes me so hungry, I want to eat it, says Paul Stamets. And we go, we love that. We love that. And just let's remember that Reverend Ike, we include many diverse contributors, he says, don't talk about spending money, because that's spent, but circulating money. And as a guest on this show a million years ago, a wonderful economist said, all of our metaphors and words for money are all water, currency, cash flow, rising tide. And I go, oh, this could be good news for this station, this show, and mystics. So let's take the waters of life as money. Let's think of it as that way. And that economist said, right, okay, let's go for it. So pipelines will go through communities and very often suck up the waters of life and money through outside ownership and, of liquor stores and sports stadiums or whatever. And so what we said then is we want to poke holes in the pipeline so that the water circulates, right? So I am encouraging us to call 800-439-5732 to circulate the money, right? As Marge Piercy says, I will put honey on my hands and run through the vaults of banks and say, come, money, I will not, imprison you in clanking cold trust funds. No, soon you'll be ready to join others of your kind. That's an abbreviation of Marge's thing. Come, honey, money, and build a murmuring swarm in my purse, KPFA's purse. There we go, 800-439-5732 would be super splendid just to see somebody, anybody. Again, call in 800-439-5732 on behalf of the mushrooms who cannot dial. They have many skills, but they don't have fingers. And on behalf of many of you who say that your dogs and cats listen to this show, and pledge for them, 800-439-5732, with many thank you gifts. And of course, you can go to kpfa.org and select any wonderful thing that you want, including the movie Aware. So there's that. And then just before we go to the next segment, what we're also honoring, Paul Stamets is a Sun in Cancer person, so we want to, it's grand to honor the positive yang of Cancerian men. Pledge for that. Jose Andres, Paul Stamets, Buckminster Fuller, Henry David Thoreau, Ringo Starr, right, and George Orwell, Hermann Hesse, Franz Kafka, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Louis Armstrong, John Cocteau, Marcel Proust. And we go, right, so again, for the positive yang of Cancerian men also putting out a pledge imploring. So let's go to our next segment, short, but it would be wonderful if during this segment you would call 1-800-439-5732 or pledge online, kpfa.org, and here we go.
Now, what does it mean to be human? And these are great painting by Alex Gray and Alex and Allison. I want to here officially dedicate my talk to you today. You know, they can bring so many of these concepts into the visual expression of art, and art and science, I think, are weaving together as we go into the future. So this just talks about the sudden increase in brain size as it relates to climate change. But it led to glossolalia, the ability to speak, to creativity. And so if your ancestors coming out of the trees of the tropics and through climate change, the savannas increased, you would hunt animals. Now, those of you who've tracked animals, I mean, what do you look for? Well, you look for tracks on the prairie. But the majority of primates are grub eaters. They eat larvae. And larvae lay eggs in the scat, in the dung. And so you look for footprints, you look for scat, you look for larvae to eat, and you run into these giant mushrooms. You're hungry. Your clan is going across the prairie. You find these mushrooms. I'm hungry. Let's eat them. Okay, I'll share. You share it with your family. You're catapulted into this incredible experience. The stars become fractals. You have depth perception like never before. You're laughing. You're hugging each other. You're sharing an altered state of consciousness, like something like you've never experienced before. It opens up your heart, your chakra. You engage in community. You understand that life is all interconnected. Rocks have a life form, a life energy about them. Okay, so that happens once. No. That happens twice. No. It happens thousands, millions, and millions, and millions, and millions of times over millions of years. Epigenesis is the expression of from the genome, a genetic expression in response to our environmental stimulus. This is not one stimulus. This is a cascade of stimuli hitting the human genome over millions of years. I believe that the stoned ape hypothesis that Terence espoused makes a lot of sense for the sudden doubling of the brain of Homo sapiens. So a hypothesis is an educated guess to explain an observable phenomenon. A theory is a hypothesis that has been tested by science and factually supported. So that's the difference between a hypothesis and a theory. This is why I call it the stoned ape hypothesis, because we might be able to prove this. Maybe, maybe not. Now there is a surge in microdosing throughout Silicon Valley. Many, many people here are involved in microdosing. There's many experts on microdosing in this audience. It's been written up in the Wall Street Journal, Forbes magazine, Inc. magazine. Is the rave right now with coders in Silicon Valley to give them a competitive edge in creativity and coming up with end runs around problems that they face in the computer sciences. So now microdosing is taking a below threshold dose of psilocybin, below that you can feel. Well, maybe 1 gram, you feel cubensis, you know. The next day you have 1 gram, little bit of feeling, next day you don't feel anything. So you normalize to it very quickly. microdosing on the psilocybe Cabenza scale of 5 grams is a hero's journey. That's like going to the 10th floor. 1 gram is like going to the first floor. You can start to feel it. So the microdosing is anywhere between a tenth of a gram to a gram of psilocybe cabensis, so using that one. That's the most common one that people consume that have been grown. So it turns out that it was discovered that psilocybin recently causes neurogenesis, and it helps to extinguish the conditioned fear response. And they did this first with rats in order to condition them to be fearful. They'd have a stimulus and a pain. And they were traumatized, form of PTSD. And then giving them the psilocybin, they were able to renormalize and extinguish the fear response. So they were able to overcome their trepidation that they're going to be harmed or feel badly. Well, this is the same with humans as well. There's several clinical studies. Roland Griffiths, many of you know, Johns Hopkins University, UCLA, New York University, all now are very much actively involved in treating PTSD using psilocybin in therapeutic settings. So psilocybin, because it eliminates the fear conditioning response, induces courage, because you're not longer fearful, and kindness. You want to hug your brother and sister. You want to forgive them. You say life is more important than these small little hiccups that we get involved in these arguments. So, well, if psilocybin induces courage and kindness, these are leadership skills. And I think our society would be a lot better if our leaders would be dosing themselves regularly with psilocybin.
Yay, there we go, that's right. And the Paul Stamets stack method, just for those at home wanting to experiment, uses 3 components for a successful microdosing experience. Take a microdose of your preferred magic truffles or magic mushrooms. Use a dose of lion's mane mushroom. Again, neurogenesis. We want our team all fluffy and up to speed with all of our skills available to us. He says include a dose of niacin, which pushes it out to our nerves. He designed this specific stack because it felt it enhances how psilocybin interacts with the human body. Yay. So, this show has been often called Democracy Now on Mushrooms, the Visionary Activist Show. And yes, thank you so much, Thomas M. and Kotati, who pledged for the book Awe, The Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Emily, right, who pledged for the Bioneers Conference. So that's no longer available. She got the one. And I will see you there and be happy to have a cup of tea with you. That's great. Thank you, Anthony. Wonderful. Pledging for Fantastic Fungi, the Community Cookbook. I appreciate all of KPFA for the incredible work that is done. Yay, team. All right. So we're on the board. We're in the team. That's wonderful for symbiotic mutualism. We really love this. So remember, we are in the final Visionary Activist Pledge Day. Right. So, the book by Paul Stamets, Fantastic Fungi, How Mushrooms Can Heal, Shift Consciousness, and Save the Planet by Paul Stamets, for a pledge of $200. We also have, again, what wonderful Anthony in San Francisco pledged for, the Fantastic Fungi Community Cookbook. Yes, I want that, by Eugenia Bone. How wonderful. And then also that's for a pledge of $200 by calling 800-439-5732. That's 800-439-5732, or pledging online at kpfa.org, where you can see a plethora of thank you gifts. We're just mentioning a few here, but anything there is wonderful. So thank you. Thank you, teams. Thank you so much. Again, 800-439-5732. So you can have for $100 pledge, you can have the DVD of the movie Aware, Glimpses of Consciousness, following 6 brilliant researchers approaching the greatest of all mysteries with radically different perspectives. This is all super pertinent, right? And again, just to say, to repeat, because it's all really important, you know, what we learned from many guests and from last week's guest, you know, ranchers and scientists in Nevada, as people cooperated to cooperate, the relationships among them changed and became more respectfully egalitarian. So a pledge drive is a form of cooperation as we gather to cooperate with the cooperators who are standing by, the mushroom, the mycelia, everything. Magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. That's really what we're pledging for. That's wonderful. So that our relationships may become more respectfully egalitarian. It's all one thing. It's all one great story. So, I think I gave, well, it's probably obvious to everybody to suck the G out of kingdom and leave the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? I think I gave Stamets that term, but it's available for anybody with, you know, sane, reverent common sense. And that's what we're engaged in supporting in all of us, this ingenious, endogenous indigenuity. The model is we have receptors, you know, in our bodies for cannabis and DMT, but we also have receptors, I think, for indigenous indigenuity, you know, again, and for cooperation. And whatever we speak to in ourselves is the part of us we're inviting to dance. You know, and again, what this station, what this show does, whatever we're speaking to in all of you is the part that we're quickening, the collaborative part, the sane, reverent ingenuity part. So again, oh, thank you, Nkotati, who also pledged for aware glimpses of consciousness. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Love you, Caroline. Love you, Anonymous Nkotati. And thank you, Fari in Fremont, California, who pledged for the KPFA Black Zipper hoodie. Keep up the good work. Thank you. We will. We will. That's so heartening. All right, let's go to our last segment of Paul Stamets.
This research experiment that we're doing, I think it's the largest beehive experiment ever conducted in the world. 532 beehives testing the effects of these extracts in helping bees survive.
So what we're doing is we are sampling these beehives to check virus levels, and then we're also treating them with mushroom extracts, which is what we're testing here.
So one of the beauties of the fungal extract for controlling the viruses in honeybees is the ease of use for commercial beekeepers. They're used to handling products like this as far as mixing something into their sugar syrup and feeding it to bees. It's very simple to adopt.
My hope is that this research will give us a very important tool in our biological toolkit to help save biodiversity and the ecosystems of this planet. If our ecosystems fail, what do people do for food? And this is fundamental to saving our ecosystems. So I'm hoping that people will recognize mushrooms for the important roles they play in the ecosystem, of which we're just now beginning to discover, before it's too late.
Now, to put it in perspective, there's a miticide, it's also active against ticks, called emetraz. Emetraz now is not allowed to be used by beekeepers. Industrial strength emetraz for killing ticks on cattle has been used at that same concentration by beekeepers. The majority of the commercial beekeepers have been using emetraz and dunking their beehives, soaking it in emetraz twice per year. Now, these past 2 years, they're treating nine times a year. This means the majority of honey that is being marketed today, unfortunately, has these toxins within them. So beekeepers who are doing, have bees up in clear cuts, for instance, where they have not used herbicides or are remote from industrial agriculture, that honey is good honey. But organic beekeepers, you know, are very much struggling because they can't use emetraz. Emetraz is not legal to be used by beekeepers, but it's off-label because the beekeeping industry has no alternative. Colony collapse is happening all over the world. So we treated the bees, and this is some of our research team, the Washington State University, and then a fungi perfecti. We make 55-gallon drums of these extracts. This is highly scalable, easily deployed. And so I'm going to kind of go backwards a little bit. Directly after 9/11 in 2001, I was approached by the U.S. Department of Defense because of bioterrorism and the concern of weaponizable viruses. I published an article 6 months earlier in HerbalGram summarizing the unique antiviral properties of mushrooms based on the scientific literature. A whopping one page long with two big photographs. Almost nothing. So the BioShield Biodefense program went on. You can look this up. You can Google my name, Stamets, and smallpox, and National Public Radio, NPR. Your interview with me, the deputy director of the FDA, and the head of the BioShield Biodefense program. Of more than 2 million samples submitted, our mushroom extracts were in the top 10. Compared to pure pharmaceuticals and being able to reduce viruses that afflict humans. So there's something called bio-guided fractionation. It's the way that traditionally the pharmaceutical industry has isolated out a new drug. They take a plant from the Amazon, they use a solvent that's highly polar, water on the far left, or hexane on the far right. Different polarities, they create two different fractions. Now they test each fraction, and did that fraction increase in its antimicrobial or antiviral activity or not? If it did, then they go down a decision tree with other solvents that try to act, isolate one pure molecule. This takes many, many years, and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to find a drug, useful molecule that'll make it to market. So, working with the University of Mississippi, the National Center for Natural Products Research, the Government Laboratory of Natural Products, doing bio-guided fractionation using that decision tree that I talked about from an old-growth mushroom called agaricon that grows in the old-growth forest, we found two highly active anti-smallpox molecules. We did this. We found novel antiviral, they're called structures, novel APIs, active principal ingredients, sulfuronic and ibucuric acid. After, I think, 1972, immunization against smallpox stopped in this country. So the majority of you are what we call immunologically naive. You have no immune defense if smallpox comes from the thawing of bodies because of global warming in the Arctic, or a village was, or a ship was wiped out with smallpox and rodents spread it and bite someone. These pandemics can come back. So those of you who are immunologically naive, the smallpox came back, 10% of you would survive unscathed. 30% of you would die. 30% of you would become blind. 30% of you would be horribly, facially destroyed because of the pox virus and elsewhere on your body. So it's great, okay? We use classic pharmaceutical science to discover two molecules. We now have epidemics that are becoming pandemics. The 1918 flu pandemic killed millions of people around the world. About 2.5% of the population died. We had a 2009 H1N1, a pig flu virus. And then a poultry virus, H7N9, wiped out about 70% of those chickens or turkeys that were infected. In Iowa and Minnesota a few years ago, many of you heard about the euthanasia of millions and millions of chickens. We sent back our mycelium to this organic farm in Iowa, and they fed 50 kilos of chicken of mycelium to 10,000 chickens. It became an oasis of immunity. Those chickens did not have to be euthanized. There's a selectivity index number, I'm closing up here, and it's a measure of how strongly antiviral something is. Anything that is 10 or more is considered to be very active. This is directly a quote from Dr. Earl Kern, who's in charge of the BioShield Biodefense Program, set up after 9/11. We submitted 2,392 samples to the BioShield Biodefense Program, because in my first test, we had activity against pox viruses. And so we got favored status with DOD and NIAID and NIH because we had such strong activity against viruses compared to pure pharmaceutical drugs.
Ah, okay. I think we're there.
Yes.
I can't tell. Are you there, Laura?
I am here.
Okay, we faded out, but that's good enough. But that's on the invaluable work of Stamets on bees and And bees, mushrooms can heal bees, right? And bees are honey, sacred to Venus, which is also connected to money, right? So a few thank yous. Thank you so much, Anonymous in Santa Rosa. Thank you very much, Anonymous in Concord, California. Thank you, Anonymous. So many Anonymous people who were generous. In Sausalito, California, favorite shows, Visionary Activist Show, Herbal Highway, Behind the News, Letters and Politics. Thank you, team. Thank you, team. And we want to encourage and exhort, and here's Laura to help us do that. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, cooperators are standing by, but by calling 1-800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. Yes. Anything you want to say, Laura, as an exhortational magnetizing incentive?
Well, okay, I got a fairly grounded magnetizing incentive. We call them matches. Ah. So I have two people from that have pooled their resources from Sebastopol, Richard and Joan. And together, we have a $950 match. So that's a lot. But that's we can make it. I think we make it. So the clock starts now.
Okay, let's go.
So, 12 minutes or whatever, something like that.
That's right. Let us be the antidote to the irreverent cruelty of humans, bad manners, and the colony collapse, and join with Richard and Joan in Sebastopol, one of my great favorite places of power. Woof, woof, woof. Again, we are offering, well, you can pledge any amount, right? But we want to make this $950 match. Matches are so exciting because it's humans collaborating in order to collaborate further. Again, we're offering fantastic fungi, how mushrooms can heal, shift consciousness, and save the planet for a pledge of $200 and by calling 1-800-439-5732. Magnetizing, mesmerizing, or pledging online, kpfa.org. And something I would like, the Fantastic Fungi Community Cookbook by Eugenia Bone, for a pledge of $200. That would be wonderful. And then just on the side there, the Glimpses of Consciousness movie, Aware, the DVD, for a pledge of $100, all by calling 1-800-439-5732.
Yeah, and also, Caroline, I didn't indicate when I told you about the Bioneers tickets how many. There actually are four left. So we didn't just have one. Sorry about that. Yeah, okay. There's still a chance.
And I'll have tea with all of you. I just deleted it. You have to pitch it. I just took it off of my sheet because it's like there. I followed Laura's advice by not offering too much. We got rid of it. No, now it's back. So
now it comes back. You never know when.
There's three more.
So that's still available. When they're all gone, it'll go away, and you can't pledge for it anymore. So as long as it's there, it's in the featured section on kpfa.org right now. So if you're interested in a one-day pass to Bioneers, that's for Saturday, April 8th, and it's happening in Berkeley. Downtown Berkeley this year. So anyone who's interested in helping out KPFA and also going to a day of Bioneers, you can do that right now, 1-800-439-5732, and of course at kpfa.org.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, and so I'm already having tea with the first person who pledged, but I'm happy to have tea with the next three people who pledged for the Bioneers Pass. It really is pretty darn great. It's people cooperating to cooperate. And part of it is the presenters, but part of it really is the Zocalo, the mix of connecting with allies, the confluence of allies. It's like taking what we do on this station and on this show out into the street, further into Berkeley, by cahooting with people with shared dedications for sane, reverent common sense and who want to, you know, be more egalitarian in our relationship to nature and therefore with each other. So you can have a pass to Bioneers, as wonderful Laura just said, for April 8th, all-day pass, for a pledge of $200. There you go. Or $400 gets two of you in the door. There you go. Or three is even a more fun number. But again, you can have that by calling 1-800-439-5732. And we do still have this match, right, for $900. $950 from Sebastopol, from Richard and Joan. May they be praised in perpetuity, backwards and forwards. And then just to say, you know, again, Paul Stamets, you know, was not known when I hosted him on this show. And, you know, now he's huge. He's just
You had him on, you've had him on regularly for years, really, right?
Yeah, there's like four shows. And then the first one really goes back to, I can't remember. We were at Bioneers and nobody knew who he was then, right? But he's like, come on the show, and said many genius things, right? And just, I want to say, you know, a number of people, Martine Prechtel and Martin Shaw, you know, also they got their audience from here. They got their California from here. So we're pledging also to have, yes, there are well-known worthy people on the show sometimes, but also people who are worthy, you know, that we want their influence to spiral forth. And that's really what we're also pledging for.
Exactly. Yeah. The KPFA is here for that, right?
Yes.
We're really like a place where we can cultivate talent. We can have some of the big names of the world, but also we can tell the stories of the people who aren't so well known that ought to be, or all the wonderful stories in the world. We are able to really bring voices that you would just never hear on in this kind of broadcast scope. And
Right. That's
because we're supported by listeners and not corporations.
Yeah, no, that's so crucial. It is, you know, it is symbiotic mutualism. That's what we're doing here. It's like a reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you and for you. And to spiral on out, I do love many things about this show, but that it does, you know, it doesn't end with the airwaves. People then go forth and cahoot and confluence and exchange ideas and connect with each other. It's the modern Zocalo. And we know, you know, in world mythology, it is the trickster god who presides over the marketplace, not Voldemort. You know, it's meant to be the Zocalo where there's caravans coming in and the storytellers live here, you know, and, you know, spices coming in from Syria. All of that are scouting reports. So we're pledging to that kind of pluralistic, astro-mythological, political commentary, which it's true, you don't find many places, or really hardly anywhere else. And the Bioneers Conference, we still have three of those left for a pledge of $200. So you're doing double good for yourself, well, triple good. You're pledging to the station, which is wonderful. And we do want to make this match. Oh, it's very exciting. For $950. So anything you pledge now is like resonant. So you get to go to the Bioneers, which is most worthy, and hang out and connect with allies. The confluencing of allies takes place on the air here, but also in the street. And Bioneers will be quirkily and wonderfully in Berkeley this year, right? So there you go, just right down a few blocks from KPFA. And so there are still three passes to the Bioneers Conference all day, and that's April 8th. And that's a fun thing. And thank you, Anonymous, in Philadelphia. Yes, okay, that's very wonderful. Thank you, Melissa. Oh, I love you, Melissa. I adore Caroline's show. This is for the match during her show. Yes, okay, let's go. All right, we're a little bit ways towards the match. And then Anonymous in Santa Cruz. Thank you. 1,000 thanks for the Visionary Activist show and KPFA. Thank you, Anonymous. That's wonderful. Oh, so heartening. Reciprocal blessing abounding. Again, let's keep it going so we can make Richard and Joan and Sebastopol's kind, wonderful $950 pledge match. There we go. All by calling 1-800-439-5732. Or pledging online, kpfa.org, right? That's right. Yes.
I think we have like about 650 to go now on that match. So we still got a little time, but we do need to see some more people step up and potentially get the Fantastic Fungi book, or Fungi. Never know how to pronounce it exactly right. The cookbook by Eugenia Bone. That's a $200 donation. And then there's the Fantastic Fungi book by Paul Stamets, who we were just hearing. He is just an amazing storyteller.
He is. And self-taught, right? He doesn't need a degree, right? No, he did it all himself. And And I do love just in his Cancerian chart, yay, Cancer men strong enough to be gentle, cultivating things, right? Paul Stamets and Jose Andres. And he does, he has a Sun-Uranus conjunction. He is an innovative genius opposite Chiron, whose image is restoring a lost condition of spirituality to the community. That's what we're doing. You know, again, we're restoring sane, reverent common sense and a collaborative willingness to cooperate with everything, you know, through everything dedicated in this show, The Visionary Activist Show. So it would be most wonderful to make the $950 pledge by calling 1-800-439-5732, and feel free to be surprising. Again, any donation is super welcome. And part of the power of dedication is that whatever we do, you know, you can just add in your heart the dedication with this pledge. May it be that, you know, sane, reverent common sense sweep the human community. May it be, you know, again, so you're just doing, you know, playing with that realm. So yes, more, we're magnetizing more. Again, we have thank you gifts, many, a plethora of them on kpfa.org. You can pick, but we're also, you know, just highlighting the fantastic fungi book, How Mushrooms Can Heal, Shift Consciousness, and Save the Planet, by Paul Stamets, for a pledge of $200. And one of the themes that we've been doing, as this show has been called Democracy Now! And Mushrooms, is the whole entheogenic realm is a whole huge part of this show's theme for 26 years, team. You know, again, you're pledging to support the ongoing flora, fauna, fungi collaborative news, right, that speaks to us and that resonates in our hearts and that is so crucial, right, so important now as the world is on fire. And let us all be the antidote to the irreverent cruelty of human bad manners and the colony collapse of bees. And then just to say, you know, Samus's last bit, and also he's really working on saving bees and has found mushrooms that will save them from our bad manners and from the colony collapse of the mites. So that it's a resonant theme. Bees, honey, sacred to Venus, so is money. Honey and money. Think of the money that you pledge as like honey. You're pledging to save the bees. You're pledging, you know, to keep this station irrigated with the waters of life. Let's think of money again as the waters of life that we want to not, you know, we want to poke holes so it slowly meanders and irrigates the community. That's a crucial dynamic. So, okay, team. All right, team. Oh, come on.
Need a couple more people here.
We do.
There's one caller on the line, but we also, you can call 1-800-439-5732, but much easier to just go to kpfa.org. And all the Paul Stamets book and the cookbook about mushrooms are right there on the front page.
Yes.
And lots more. Or you can just give, like some people have, without getting a thank you gift at all, just to support Caroline and KPFA.
Even more wonderful. All right, team, we're almost done. We're almost done, but we do want to magnetize the $950 pledge from Richard and Joan in Sebastopol. It'll be so wonderful. Oh, it'll be so 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. There we have it. Oh, we got somebody.
Yeah, looks like
there. Elizabeth. Yes. Elizabeth in Walnut Creek. That's great. To Caroline, I've been listening to close to 25 years and gets better every year. I love you. All right. Thank you, team. Oh.